Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Slash and Dash.
Oh, Slash and Dash.
Yeah, mini one.
Yay.
It's always nice because we
don't have to. Give us more.
So you guys voted for, and I think I had some good titles this time, but you voted for Beware the Red Churn.
You must have had some shit titles because that's normally it's the grossest or the most sexualized one. Unless Red Chair is some sort of term that we aren't aware of.
Sort of period pun time.
There's something on Urban Dictionary for Red Chair.
Yeah, probably. So I got most of this from the book Bizarre Crimes by Robin O'Dell, filled in with some stuff online as well. So this is a French story, but Bernardie de Ségoyer, who was born in Réunion in France in 1905, and his parents both died by the time he was seven, but he was pretty rich, so it didn't really affect him so much.
Oh, it's fine. I'll just love the money instead.
So he'd started calling himself Marquis de Soye, de Ségoyer quite early on, which I think is a name for nobility, but it wasn't a name that they had in their family. I think he just did it. It's like if you just were like, I'm Earl of something.
I am a lady, officially.
Oh, you have had a ladyship.
I have got a title. I have land ownership in Scotland. And I think it's like 1 acre. It's definitely, but I am officially a lady. I have a card and everything that says.
Well done.
I can't remember where my plot is.
You need to go visit it. And
I think it's just going to be the tiniest little square. And if there's a cow pat in it, I'm like, what is this?
What have you been doing, my subjects? So he was from a rich family. So he was trained in various jobs. So he had these jobs: accountant, driver, businessman, writer.
Businessman. Just like saying worker.
Writer. Businessman. And magician.
Oh, that is eclectic.
Yeah. Also very popular with women, which most magicians aren't, I would say, is a fair gambit.
We all prefer those generic businessmen.
So he was also quite the scammer, and his number one scam.
Oh, no fucking surprise. You know, if you met someone and they're like, oh, what do you do for work? And like, I'm a businessman. Like, you're clearly scamming people. Yeah. That is not a job. It's not real. Oh, I do a bit of this and that. No, you fucking don't. No. You steal people's money.
So he, the biggest scam that he had was that he would buy stuff on credit and then he'd resell it for cash, and then but he'd never pay back the credit, which I guess, like, back, what was this, he was born in 1905, so if you lose the bit of paper, where's the evidence anyway? Like,
yeah,
and people were changing their names left, right and center, so it's probably a pretty easy scam to have.
Yeah, just changing your name could really do a lot.
Yeah. So in 1931 he was arrested for scamming people, but he avoided prison by faking insanity and he was sent to an asylum, and then he quickly got out, shortly released, and he set up a load of magic schools across Europe. So apparently he had like one in Barcelona and another one in another country, and
wow, he's like, got some get up and get up.
I know.
Got some gumption, this guy.
I wonder what they did at these magic schools. It's like, I think it's like oldie remedies, or I guess it was, or more like pizzazz.
I want to know, like, what's the timetable at this magic school? Like,
I want to know if it's serious.
8 till 9, make your breakfast appear. 9 till 10, practice rolling coins across your wrist in silent meditation. 10 till 11, feed your rabbits.
I imagine it was more
bond with rabbits.
If you do, you want to be a magician? Just put down this down payment of however much.
Yeah. Like in Bedknobs and Broomsticks, he does that.
Does he?
Yeah, the man, what's he called? Oh, Emmett Brown. And that's his job. He's a magician. And then he people sign up to his school of magic. And then it's a postal course. And he sends them just like cheap magic tricks.
Yeah.
He does a magic school. I bet it was like that. Yeah. A postal thing where he just sends you a pack of tricks and then you do it. Oh,
in 1937, he bought a house and he spent a lot of his time practicing black magic. Also, 1937,
I'm practicing black magic.
So 1937, the same year, he's accused of kidnapping a guy called Peter Gocheff, which I think was an American, and they searched his house and they found his passport and his papers, but they couldn't find any evidence that he'd actually been kidnapped or any body or anything like that. So they, I guess they just had to sort of call it a day. But Bernardy was, he claimed that the man had been eaten and he was arrested. But apparently one of his ex-mistresses got involved and he was released. So I'm not sure what kind of dodgy deal she was doing there. But it also helped that he was one of the richest men in Paris. So that probably...
That explains why there's so little detail. And it's just, and then he was able to do this.
Yeah.
And like, these things didn't mar his reputation. His life didn't stop there.
And he definitely was like onto a good one. Like, he was making a lot of money when the Second World War began because he was selling alcohol to the Germans. So a bit of a money spinner. He had some hotel that he was just selling it out the basement of. So he married a young woman called Jeanne Kergo, who was actually, like, she became mother of his two children. But even, like, by the time she was 25, so I think, I don't know how old she was when he married her, but she, like, they were already living separately at that point. I think probably because he was constantly...
A gay magician.
Constantly with mistresses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he'd take...
Or insane. Like, there's any number of reasons you might want to divorce this guy.
I mean, the magician thing, I would say, probably. So he had actually taken a long-term mistress as well called Irene LeBeau. And in 1945, Jeanne visited her husband and his mistress. But also, her mother was living with them. So Jeanne's mother, not the mistress's mother. And she was... So Jeanne... His estranged wife.
His mother-in-law is living with him and his mistress.
Yeah, but he was also shagging the mother-in-law.
What? Oh.
Which sounds far-fetched, but I wouldn't be surprised.
What a nasty
if it was happening
mom.
To me.
Oh, God.
I don't know, Luke went round to visit my mum the other day, and I was like, yeah, I'll stay home.
Really?
Well, they wanted to talk about politics. Not interested. So this time there, when Jeanne visited, she demanded a divorce, probably because he's shagging her mother. So they went into the library to talk, and Jeanne sat in the red plush leather
chair. Can you imagine? He just went to her, I don't really see you as a wife anymore. I see you more as like a stepdaughter. I'm going to make that happen.
So Bernardy pulled out a piece of cord and he placed it around her throat and he strangled her to death on this red chair. So Jeanne's mother reports her daughter missing.
Red chair. Great. You just classify all murders. And what was the colour of the chair? What colour was the chair?
So Jeanne's mother reports her daughter missing the next day. And Bernardy is questioned. And
why does she suddenly give a shit where her daughter is now?
Well, I guess because she's like living in the house and probably heard it happening. So apparently he's tortured for information by waterboarding, which I thought was a sex thing.
No.
What's waterboarding then?
It's where, well, you can do it different ways. Because from what I understand. But it's like, don't they put like a towel over your face and then pour water over your mouth? So it's like you suffocate. Oh. So you constantly have, and then stop for a bit.
So when you can't catch your breath type.
Yeah, so you constantly have that feeling of being drowning and then come back. Or they can dunk your head in and out of water as well. But it's basically, yeah, it's just stopping you.
I think I'm thinking of motorboating.
Yes, I think that might be the case.
Which is very different. Although it could result in suffocation.
Yeah.
So he's kept in prison and he writes a letter to Irene intending to keep her quiet by saying, beware the red chair. As in, I'll do the same to you if you talk. So Bernadette's house is searched.
Which doesn't work unless she knows exactly how she died.
Oh, I think she was in the room.
Oh.
Yeah, she was there. So Benedy's house is searched, and under the floor of the wine cellar is a barrel with Jeanne's belongings. So they talk to Irene, and she turns on Benedy, and she says that he killed his wife, she was in the room, he threatened her to keep her quiet, and she tells them that the body is in a warehouse owned by Benedy, buried in a pit under a water meter. So they go and they dig it up and they find Jeanne's body. So, Bernardy, being a very, very rich man, hires a famous lawyer, Master Jacques Izorni, and tells a story of Irene killing his wife. So he says the mistress killed his wife with a gun, but they check the body, there's no evidence of a bullet. And the red chair featured in many reenactments in the courtroom. So effectively the defense was saying, this is the story that the mistress killed his wife with a gun, and it's actually impossible to strangle someone in that chair anyway because the back is too low.
Oh, I think you say too high.
I was thinking too high, but apparently too low. I guess they looked it and went, oh, I guess we'll have to go too low because it's tiny. So, but then they said actually it's a matter of technique, and if you use the right technique, it's easy.
But you can strangle someone if they're not sat in any chair, surely.
Yeah, exactly.
No chairs are necessary.
Yeah. So Bernardy's story was not believed, and he's found guilty, and he was sentenced to death by the guillotine on the 11th of June 1947. So the night of his execution, like after he's executed, Bernardy's lawyer, do you know this famous lawyer? Yeah. He says that there's a knock on the door, and he opens it,
and there's the red chair. It's like Beauty and the Beast, it's come.
There's Bernardy from beyond the grave, who starts putting a curse on him. So he's like, oh my god, he's back from the dead, he's gonna curse me forever. But it turns out Bernardy had actually hired a comedian who looked a bit like him to go and pretend to curse him just to freak him out a bit.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I'm going to die, but he's not going to see the payoff, but he's determined to shit him up. That's good. Yes, I like it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.